Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, Daring to Serve, part of the series A Worthwhile Vision, Growing Deep, Growing Up, Growing Together, was given by Pastor Henry Hansen on Sunday, August 27th, 2023. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
Today we're going to be looking at a scripture passage from Exodus chapter 1. And interestingly, in 2 weeks, we're starting an 11-week series of messages on Exodus, but we're starting in the second chapter, not the first. This first chapter just so happens to really fit well our theme for this morning. So this is precursor to that as a segue and introduction. And the series in 2 weeks we start in Exodus is going to be called Our Story. So we have some great themes to look forward to this fall. So why don't we hear the word of God from Exodus chapter 1. I'll begin with the 8th verse. And a new king here has come to Egypt, and a new era will begin for God's people, Israel. A new king came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor and brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. King of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiprah and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. Clever midwives. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Why don't we just pause for a brief moment of prayer? Good and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of this day. We thank you for yet another opportunity to gather in your presence, the presence of your people. It's such an encouragement to be here. And so we thank you for blessings received. We thank you for sacred spaces. We thank you for your written word. And we pray that it would be a living word to us via the power of your Spirit. In Christ's name we ask all this. Amen. Have you ever received a dare to do something virtuous or just completely stupid? We've all received a dare at one point in our lives. Maybe it was as a child growing up or an adolescent, or perhaps it was sometime later in your own development or faith journey. The last time I received a dare was 10 years ago from some high school students. I took on a mission trip to the city of Los Angeles. I'll never forget, we stopped at a Mexican restaurant along the way, and there sitting at the center of the table were the hottest jalapeno peppers ever known to mankind. And wouldn't you know, I received a dare from the students to eat not one, but three of them. And in the interest of Jesus and his kingdom, I took the dare, and I survived it. I did. My testing's not so much, but I lived through the experience. These are the things that we do for Christ. And I scored major social capital points with all the students there. And overall, the trip fared very well. Something comes to mind, too, which is that classic scene from the movie A Christmas Story, which is just one of my absolute favorites. And Flick, one of Ralphie's friends, is on the playground, and he receives a dare to put his tongue on the frozen flagpole in the tundra of Indiana. And he receives not just a dare, then a double dare. And then you hear Ralphie say, and then the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dare, right? And he puts his tongue on the flagpole and he turns around and all of his peers have abandoned him. And it is stuck there, what may be for life, right? Well, we can all receive dares in our lives for virtuous things or things that are careless and less noble or salutary. And I like to think that as we look at our scripture passage for this morning, that Shipra and Pua, and isn't that interesting, Shipra and Pua, these names, I'm not sure you know anyone named Shipra or Pua, these names where they come from, and lesser known characters in the Bible, which is great to learn from, they are on a dare from God. They have been given specific instructions from the great superpower in all of the world, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to kill the boys, to kill sons, because they have a crowd control problem and the Israelites have become too ruly. They put them to work. That is not effective. And so they are given specific instructions and they defy the Pharaoh's orders. Why? Because they revere Yahweh and they were dared to do something virtuous, even life-saving. And you may know ultimately how the story ends in the book of Exodus. A lot hangs in the balance. As a result of defying the king's orders, Moses is allowed to be born, a ruler whom God will raise up to eventually free God's people Israel from the bonds of slavery. I even wonder too, just for the sake of being playful, if maybe Shipra and Pua, after giving these orders from Pharaoh, had an exchange. Shipra, I dare us to go against this edict, these instructions, and dare to be different because of who God is and the way he values human life. We will never know what took place between them, but we know at least that they were on a dare from God. Well, I say all this because we are in a series of messages called Growing Deep in Christ, Growing Up in Service, and Growing Together with Joy. And the reason we're doing this series is because our vision statement is deeper in Christ, daring to serve, and together with joy. And this morning we are focusing on what it means to dare to serve. And I want to look at this today in a really narrow way. There's a lot we can say about service, right? We're called to be servants at our core. That's how we're supposed to be defined. That's our self-understanding in the eyes of Christ. We are encouraged, of course, to serve the church. And this is a strategic priority for our church board this year. Our session is to engage all of us in active service in the church and to have the larger percentage of us serving Christ and the church in some meaningful way. But I really want us to look at this specifically in the realm of our work, your vocation as you define it. However it is you spend your work day in serving God out there, right? The other 167 hours of the week, not the hour you are here, but when you are out there. And to do that, I want to invite you this morning to receive a testimony from someone named Ryan Willard, who I had the opportunity to interview this week, and we're going to watch that in just a minute. Ryan is a friend of mine, and Ryan is a member of our church. He and his wife Tamara have been members here for some 20 or so years. They faithfully serve here. They have two children, and Ryan is a middle school teacher at Marsh Middle School. I may even know one of his students this year in his social studies class. So I want to invite you now just to give your attention to the screen for a 9.5-minute interview that I did with Ryan this last Tuesday. Let's hear what he has to say. So Ryan, thanks a bunch for joining us this morning. My pleasure. This is really cool. I've been looking forward to this all week, and I'm excited for the church to get to know you a little bit more. I know you've been here for several years, so at least seven, of course. But how many years has it been since you can remember?
We moved to Chico in 2000. I think this was our first church.
Yeah.
And so I want to reference probably maybe 2001, 2002, we started coming here.
Boy, okay.
Yeah, so it's been a minute. For sure.
Awesome. So, well, thanks for your love and commitment to and for our church.
Absolutely.
Super awesome. So I am excited for the church to get to know you a little more. And one thing everyone knows about Ryan Willard is he's a Chiefs fan. So probably everyone here, mm-hmm. people who know you, have got that down, mm-hmm. And your love for our church as well. But we also want to just hear a little bit more about you before we delve into our topic for today and Daring to Serve, and tell us a little about your season of life and things that excite you right now.
Well, interestingly so, I'm, as you mentioned, I'm a teacher. My daughter's actually in my class right now, so I'm experiencing that joy. I thought she was going to be my right-hand man, so to speak. But as it turns out, she, you know, kind of wants her space on campus, but it's been super nice. I've had her for 3 years, no nepotism involved in my leadership class.
Nice.
And so I've had her there waiting on my son to come up in leadership next year, up into sixth grade. So, just in that real nostalgic zone, I've really tried to be in the moment. I've really taken to heart a lot of people telling me, you know, every moment, and that, you know, that these, you know, the sand's running out, and just to really relish every single moment that you have with your kids.
Well, and just talking to you about your profession in previous settings, you have a lot of joy, which I think speaks a lot about how God designed you. So you're experiencing joy in your work and not like, it's not like something you dread, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're counting the hours. That means that you're in the right spot, the spot that God wants you in.
Basically, I feel like I'm this power generator, and the kids are receiving what I'm putting out, in essence. You know, if I'm starting out my day negative, which is rare, but if they tend to feed off of that. I feel like kids are really good at vibing off of your energy.
Totally.
And so when I come in with a positive attitude, no matter where it's at, I feel like that just drives the entire day. And so lately I've been, you know, my wife bought me a daily prayer devotional. So I start off the day that way, put myself in a good spot as far as like mindset, come into school, realizing that I have an opportunity to really impact their entire day, especially starting period one.
Yeah.
And then just with good positive energy, high fives, smiles, love, show them. I always say, you know, WWJD, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and so I'm thinking, what would Jesus do in this moment if he was standing at the door?
Totally.
So
that's rich. Yeah, I've heard it once said that people may forget things that you said, but they'll never forget what it's like to be in your presence.
Totally.
So if they remember that you're optimistic, that you're hopeful, that you're joyful to be around, that in and of itself has a huge impact in their long-term development, how they remember you, but also in the moment and their own enjoyment of the day, because you set the tone, right?
Absolutely. Last year, the kids actually renamed me to Miss. So I'm Mr. Willard. They called me Mr. Chillard. And so I was like, I don't know if I want that to be my legacy. But it turns out that, you know, I'm like, okay, if they understand that I'm going to reinterpret the word Chillard into grace.
What do you think are components to sharing your faith through your work, and particularly in your case, of course, as a teacher at Marsh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's very early in my career, it was made known to me that, you know, school is a secular place, you know, that it's, you know, we were told early, you know, separation of church and state. So early on, I was, you know, felt very nervous about ever mentioning my Christianity, because I just literally thought I would be escorted out, you know, lose my teaching license. Through the years, though, I found that one thing that was big for me was just revealing who I am to my students. And so just putting it all out there and then letting the cards lay as they are. And so a lot of the times, you know, in the moments of the day, something comes up, I'll just reference, you know, so to back it up, I teach ancient civilizations. A lot of the stories in ancient civilizations are right here in church. So a lot of times when I come back to school, I will just mention, hey, I was in church yesterday. Our pastor Henry was talking about, you know, Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. And I'll be like, I looked over at my family and kind of do like a ha ha. And you'd be like, hey, you know, this is what we're talking about in school. So I like to call it kind of like drip Christianity, where I'm kind of like exposing it to them, you know, being like, hey, Mr. Willard's a Christian. And then I'm thinking, you know, not consciously, but the idea that, you know, maybe they see you, and I know that you've mentioned this a lot in church about how you just have a different walk, and it builds a curiosity in them. And like, why are you just sort of chilled. Why are you so mellow? Why are you so relaxed? And,
right.
You know, and I don't have to worry. And just with Christianity, you know, if a kid pulls me aside and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so cool that you want to actually talk to me about this. And I know I always feel like God's putting me on the spot, like right now, this is your moment. You know, the kids will ask me questions about, you know, just some of the most basic things about my own religion. Oh, Mr. Or they'll drop in that, hey, Mr. Willard, I went to church last week. And then that's our time to build our connection. Mm. Yeah. So when they want to come to me with questions about faith, I want this to be a real conversation. If they hear me talk about my own faith, I want them to know that this isn't my teacher. This is just a guy, Mr. Willard, and mm-hmm. this is, and I like him.
Terrific. A word comes to mind for me as I hear you speak, and that is the word incarnational, which yeah. is, you know, it's this idea of God becoming incarnate in a person, mm-hmm. and that we can model what's called incarnational ministry mm-hmm. In service toward mm-hmm. others by meeting people where they are,
yeah,
totally. Embodying Christ's love and presence. Uh-huh. And so, just to me, that sort of, you know, describes what you're describing, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
Which is meeting people where they are, mm-hmm. being real,
yeah.
And showing the love in Christ really mm-hmm. through just presence, vulnerability, mm-hmm. Being open, being chill. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
So I'd love for everyone to hear a little bit about this Christian club that you lead yeah. on campus. I was yeah. very inspired by that.
We just decided that, you know, being Christians ourselves, we knew that we had students that were Christian and that it would be a great service to them that once a week we would hold a club and a safe spot for them to hang out at lunch. You know, some of my students have a really great knowledge. I'm looking at you, Gordy Muff, that they have this really fantastic, you know, background.
Right.
So
that's like its cool. own form of witness.
Uh-huh. Of Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I think it's just a really amazing way that you have dared to serve God in your life by taking that extra step and having, you know, a Christian fellowship on campus, a church away from the church, so to speak, right? Because yeah. where two or three are gathered, there you are, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So one last question, actually, too. The first one is, everyone wants to know, how much do you bench press?
Do you even lift, bro? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you know, we're in the middle of I'm in midlife. I'm closer to 90 than I am being born, and so I'm holding a finger in the dam right now.
You and me.
So I think I'm in the mid 200s, I guess, guys. I'm assuming, you know, I'm doing all right.
That's pretty darn good, buddy.
You know, I'll see Ray Medina at the gym occasionally. He's breaking a sweat for the Lord. So, you know,
yeah.
he's looking. Yeah. It's honestly, it's one of those things, man, it's so meditative to get to the gym. You know, it's so healthy just to get out and, you know, shamelessly, I'll tell you, the one thing that's been effective for me is I see a lot of my students at the gym, a lot of my ex-students, so I want them to see that Mr. Willard's not falling apart. So a lot of them seeing me is just what's keeping me going. Yeah. Like, it's really weird, but it's true.
That's awesome. Yeah. Last question. So what are the Chiefs' chances this year at winning the Super Bowl?
Very strong. Very strong.
Yeah. Really?
Well, I'll tell you,
wow.
Man, everybody's going to give me a hard time for being a Chiefs fan. I know everybody's booing right now, but I'll tell you, I've been a Chiefs fan since I was 12 years old, and I warned my students, a lot of them are starting to be Chiefs fans now because, of course, recency bias. But I'll tell them, I said, you know, the rule is once you lock it in, it's a lifetime thing, so you got to be certain. So I made that choice years ago, and thankfully I'm riding high right now, but man, I'll tell you, any second. So
to my eye, it looks like they've got a pretty good shot too.
indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been awesome having you. Yeah. I super appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
And this is the first day of school for you. Mm. So it's kind of you to fit us in, and just excited the ways you're serving God and really daring to serve Him, being so intentional about your witness on campus, and grateful for your impact in teaching and reaching students. You make us proud. Thanks for being an awesome ambassador of Christ and of the church. And God bless you, man. I'll be praying for your school year.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate the time being here. I'll be working hard for you guys as a community, carrying the mission forward, doing everything I can. Absolutely. I think I got another 16 years, so.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, thank you again.
Thanks, brother. Right, appreciate
you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I enjoy doing it. I am just so proud to have people like that out there from our church. And I know so many of you contribute so much out there and are constantly trying to share your faith in as many intentional ways as you can. It just did my soul good talking to Ryan. And a lot of things come to mind for me. I love how he ended with this idea of carrying the mission forward for our community, right? This mission that we have of restoration and of reaching people. Also his reference of Christianity by drip, right? It's just a little drip here and a little drip there. And then this amazing way that Ryan is taking a risk at Marsh Middle School by having this Christian fellowship. And that is so neat that he's doing that. And I also want to say it speaks well of Marsh for allowing that to take place. So I'm equally impressed with them and their willingness to do that. Well, this interview was first just to get Ryan's story out, because there's so much goodness there to share, but also to encourage us to think about how we are intentional about our faith sharing, the 167 hours we're not here. What does that look like for us? What does it look like to be a 167-hour-a-week kind of Christian? And I want to name just a handful of ways we can do this briefly. Hard work and excellence, which Ryan and I talked about, what didn't make the cut for the interview. He and I spoke for 30 minutes, by the way, on Tuesday. That was an edited version. Hard work and excellence. We don't aim for perfection in our lives ever, but we do aim for excellence. And that's a form of witness in how we glorify God. Letting people know in ways that we can that we're people of faith. It is my sincere hope that every person you work with and work for knows you are a Christian. And if they don't, change that. Change that. People should know you are a person of faith. It doesn't mean you're being pushy. It just means you're open about who you are, which Ryan shared. Sharing joy, our countenance, as Ryan shared, he's a generator for students. You're a generator where you go. Don't be a thermostat, right? Be a thermometer. Turn up the temperature. Share joy. Taking risks. What bold thing can you do at work to create fellowship or promote a cause for justice, promote truth, and help the common good? Finally, give glory to God in all of the ways that you can by simply being humble toward others. We don't have to take all the credit in our work environments, do we? No, we can be humble. We can share the wealth. We can point toward others. And friends, I invite us to dare to serve God like Shipra and Pua. And it makes me curious, what hangs in the balance if we are not doing this in all the intentional ways that we can, as something hung in the balance for the story of Israel? Of Moses being born because of their courageous acts. I want to share with you this season a way that I'm being dared to serve right now. I received a phone call 2 weeks ago from a gentleman named Carlos Gonzalez. And if that name rings a bell for you, it's because you've heard me talk about Carlos. I'm a jail minister at Butte County Jail, and I visit inmates down there. And Carlos recently was released. He was transferred from Butte to Folsom Prison, and Carlos was released, and I was his first phone call. I was his first phone call, and so I got this message from Allison, our receptionist at the office, and my heart just started beating quickly. I was both excited, but then a little bit nervous. You have to understand that my relationship with Carlos has always existed between plexiglass, right? We have not sat across from each other in an open space. We have not been seen in public or interacted with public. Our relationship occurs in a very specific context. So I just took a breath, one of joy, anticipation, and curiosity. What does this relationship look like on the outside? And was going to return the call no matter, but really felt God guiding me to have a relationship with him over meals. And so I returned the phone call. I just told him how excited I was to hear from him. And I said, we got to get a meal this week. Where are we going to go? And we met. We met a week and a half ago. We met at Chipotle over at East Avenue. Talked a great deal about his hopes. He's in a recovery program over in that neighborhood right now for, I believe it's three months. Talked about what he's doing to fill out his time, his hopes to find a job on the outside, which he's currently getting set up. And I made a commitment to him. I said, I want to meet with you every 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to have a meal. We're going to have a meal at Chipotle. We'll have a meal other places. But I am dedicated to you. And friends, Christ is daring me to serve, to allow the plexiglass to come down and for me to meet him where he is and to step out of my comfort zone. This may not be a new territory for you, but it is for me, of meeting with someone just fresh from the inside, coming out, needing hope, just thirsting for living water, for someone to encourage him, support his life, and to pray for him. But your dare is going to look different than mine. Your dare is going to look different. And so again, I offer this invitation to us during this season to dare to serve. And maybe it's good for you to ask the question, is there something that may hang in the balance by your not receiving this dare from God? And maybe the dare right now is coming to you in the form of a friendship. There's someone tapping you on the shoulder and encouraging you to do something courageous and bold and exciting. Maybe God is just speaking in the still of your heart. Or maybe there's something this morning you heard from hearing from Ryan of a way you want to be more intentional of showing your faith through your work, your vocation, however it is that you define it. But this morning, I want to dare you. I want to double dare you. I'm going to triple dog dare you to serve God boldly, courageously, faithfully. Do so with your generosity of time toward others, your generosity of perhaps time or talent, treasure, as you are seeking to serve the Church of Jesus Christ here. Maybe it is the use of your time and dedication to a very particular cause out in the community or elsewhere that God is daring you to serve, to use your gifts, to use your life story, to have an impact in the life of others. Maybe right now, just quite simply, it's taking that step of making known to others your faith, your active faith in Jesus Christ, allowing that plexiglass to come down and taking a bold step of letting them know why you're a person of faith, and even perhaps inviting them to church or to be in an active living relationship or walk with God. And so this season, I want to dare you. God is daring us to live our faith out boldly, courageously, and faithfully, serving Him with heart, soul, and mind. What will that look like, friends, this season for you and for me? It gives us something to pray about. Would you join me in prayer? God, we pray for a spirit of discernment. Sometimes these things are straightforward and clear, and sometimes they're not. There may be plexiglass between us and this thing, this person, this cause, this group, whatever it may be that you're calling us to serve. And so, God, would you help us to take that extra step and to be courageous and to be bold? But ultimately, we want to follow your lead. There are a lot of good things we can do. The question is, what is of you, God? What is of Christ? And so we invite your Holy Spirit to illuminate heart, mind, and soul as we dare to serve you here and beyond. In Christ's precious name, amen.